Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our brief meditation this morning is the first verse of the second reading. That very, very familiar text, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear fellow redeemed, there's a great danger in choosing to use this text for our meditation. It is a text that I would guess more than half of us, if not nearly all of us, have memorized. It is a familiar text. And one might say, what more can be wrung out of that text that we should want to hear this morning? More than that, I believe that on a seminary campus, there's an additional danger, a danger that I would like to call that we tend to intellectualize the faith. We can tell all about the grammar and the words and the background, the text and the context, and at the same time, miss the point. My purpose this morning, very simply, is to bring you and myself from God's holy word, a word of comfort and encouragement and power. The text is said to encompass all of Scripture, and indeed one can make it do that. The great truths are there. God is a just God. His justice is implicit in the fact that we needed his love on the one hand, and those awesome words, shall not perish, on the other hand. God's justice demanded no more than the fact that he sinned his only begotten one. God's love is there. He is a loving, loving God, that he, the Creator, would send his own Son for us, the creatures. His love is universal. He loved the world, everyone. He loved and sent his Son for everyone. Absolutely universal, non-exclusive. He is a forgiving God. He forgives so that those who believe do not perish but have eternal life. And if I were to end here this morning, although preaching great truths of Scripture, you still really would have very little to take out into the world today that would make you even say you were happy to be in chapel. Granted, it is on these great truths, these objective truths of Scripture, that our faith is based and founded and grounded and they grasp hold of. Last Wednesday evening, I had the occasion to sit with a man long into the night in whom the law had done its job. He was absolutely convicted of his sinfulness. What's more, he had no trouble looking at me and saying, I know God is a forgiving God. And what was his problem? He couldn't bring himself to say, I know God forgives me. And so we spent long hours with the Word of Scripture, praying for the gift of the Holy Spirit, working through that Word, reminding him of his baptism and the great truths and promises of his baptism, so that he could say, I know and believe that God forgives me. I saw this in all of its awesomeness with my own father. He lived to a ripe old age, but in those dying days of his, I saw Satan dredge up every sin of which he could remind my father and ask one more time, are you sure that sin is also forgiven? And so I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning, to paraphrase in your mind this beautiful text, and with the aid of God the Holy Spirit, make it yours, so that we can say, God so loved me, that he had me in mind from all eternity. He knew me, and through my baptism I became his. So that he can say, I know you, I have called you by name, you are mine, and no man will pluck you out of my hand. God so loved me that I, the one, can believe this. And he gave that only begotten Son for me, true for the whole world. Satan knows that and trembles. But he gave his only begotten Son for me. That I, believing in him, shall not perish. It's gone. The thought of perishing is gone. He took the perishing on the cross with him. He did it for me, that I, believing in him, shall not perish. But I already now, I have eternal life. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Now, and you see, my dear Christian friends, it is in that knowledge, in that faith, in that belief, in making that personal to you and to me, that it makes all the difference in the world then. It is from this declaration of our innocence and our saintliness, if you will, that then the fruits of faith will flow. For you see, here is freedom, real freedom, from the guilt of sin, from the power of Satan, and from the fear of death. Here is peace, real peace. peace for the troubled heart in a troubled world. Here is joy. Joy, and oh, how we need joy, don't we? Here is joy that no man and no situation can take from you. Externals can bother us, but here is joy. Joy abounding. And here is love. Love received, but also love to be shared. And here is power. Here is power to forgive one another, even as we have been forgiven. And here is courage. Courage to do what is right. Courage to do what is right, regardless of the consequences. And finally, here is a message. Here is a message to be shared with that same world that God loved so much. And so, my fellow redeemed, let us pray God that He may indeed grant each and every one of us such a faith as this, that says indeed that God so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son for me, that I, believing in Him, shall not perish, but I have everlasting life. And with His aid and comfort and power and guidance, live that way. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.